As the world continues to push God and His Spirit further away, we can see a glimpse of what's in store for this planet when God takes His Spirit completely away, as we hear from Mike McIntosh.
The denial of the Spirit, just like this philosophy that Solomon's taken off on the body and the consciousness is what I'm going to live for, the denial of the Spirit is the flaw of all of our educational system. You can't have anything about the Spirit in the classroom. You can't have it in the textbooks. So it's that denial of the spiritual side of things that just is missing so much in this world that is just calling out every day for one world currency and a one world government.
And I'll stand up and shout and praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
You've tuned to the Thursday broadcast of Chapter and Verse Radio, where our teacher, Mike McIntosh, is going to begin a brief series in the book of Ecclesiastes as we present the message, The Preacher. Its author, King Solomon, called the wisest man ever to live, gives an account of the philosophy of man and the vanity of earthly things. One of the key phrases used several times in this text is under the sun, which represents man's reasoning of life. Although it doesn't make any claim to great revelation, it does inspire us to the realization that there is a holy God and that He will bring everything into judgment. Important lessons about the vanity of man's philosophies are ahead today on this edition of Chapter and Verse. Now let's join the teaching service and listen to Mike McIntosh.
All right, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We have made it through the wisdom of the Proverbs. Ecclesiastes. Actually, chapter 1 and 2, we could breeze through this, but 1 and 2 is like the opening section to the book. And I'd like to make some points to start out right away for you, especially if you're new to the Bible and you're not aware of Ecclesiastes. Most would say that it's not a book that you're going to get doctrine out of and you're going to live by this doctrine, though there are some very profound things here. So you have to be very cautious with Ecclesiastes because it's from a humanist point of view. And Solomon had a very good life with the Lord, and then his wives turned him away from the Lord and began to worship their gods. And this is the fruit of it, that he lost hope, he lost vision, he lost purpose. But yet he does say, my wisdom stayed with me this whole time. So it's a fatalistic point of view almost. It's close to eat, drink, and make merry, for tomorrow we die, which is fatalism to the max, though Solomon doesn't go all the way there, though he does tell us he experimented with it. If you're experimenting with anything besides the Lord, it's going to kill you, so you want to get out of it tonight, all right? And his wisdom, he goes from this brilliant wisdom to his mother ending up warning, this King Lemuel's mother warning him to watch out for leaving the things of the Lord, and then we go to this book, that apparently he left the Lord. So the title is actually a transliteration from the word that the Greeks translated it from. And they were looking for a Greek equivalent to the Hebrew word. And that word throws a curveball into the whole mix that some scholars say, well, Solomon didn't write this, because if you made that a noun, that word that's being used as the title could be a person. And so a person wrote this and maybe plagiarized. So I never saw so much controversy till this time studying it. But that isn't the purpose of us to study it or it being written. The Hebrew name actually implied the word, the preacher. So that's how you get it. And it's the words of the debater. Another translation that's used in this word is the one that gathers. So it's a man or a person that gathers people together to debate words. So the preacher is really the simplistic interpretation. There's a searcher with questions, and he wants them answered. And this name threw a curveball, and some people say, well, it's not Solomon. But as you read this through, and I'll point out a couple, and I want you just to nudge the person next to you and say, aha, it's Solomon. Because there are some things in here that only Solomon could say. And you're so wise because I know you made it. to at least two of those proverb studies that we did, and you're going to say, ah, wisdom says this is Solomon, because only Solomon could say that. So you ready for that? Giving you a little quiz while you're right here. Just nudge them. No, don't knock them over, just nudge them. When I see the arms go, I know that you're all on the same page together, okay? No bloody noses, nothing like that, just nudge them. So Lord, as we look at Ecclesiastes, we would pray for your Holy Spirit's love to speak to us. I would pray that you'd amplify it with warning to the hearts of everyone that is doing well today, that tomorrow they may fall away from you. If for anyone that's experimenting with life, especially the darker side of life, like Solomon appears to be doing here, that they would just cry out to you and get the lighter side of life through Jesus. And we pray that we could gain wisdom, more wisdom and understanding by studying this point of view that Solomon lays out in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. The words of the preacher starts out here. So I do note, if you're a student of the Bible and you want to understand this a little bit more, there's depression, there's fog, his vision's blurred, his mindset isn't really crisp and bright with a positive outlook. However, when people get depressed or they get to the place of insanity or they flip, they see the other side of life. And a good psychiatrist, a technician, a doctor, is very patient because they can also learn from a person when they're very down and they see the other side of life. It's really there because the person sees it, but it's maybe not reality. And they may be seeing a spiritual world that they never saw before. So think of this guy who wrote the Proverbs. He had the world at his feet. There was not one thing that this man lacked. He had more wisdom than anybody on the planet ever had or ever would be. And in this dialogue, he's coming from just the opposite, as if he were an uneducated person out on the streets, just drinking a beer now and then, getting high and saying, there's no reason to be alive. It's all vanity of vanities. So we see him speaking in verses 1 through 3 with a thought, and we'll look at that, and then 4 through 7 becomes a thought. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all of his labor in which he toils under the sun? Would you please underline and circle under the sun? And then when we get through with Ecclesiastes, see how many times this guy used the term under the sun. Because under the sun is one point of view, but in the sun is another point of view. Or seated in heavenlies beside the sun with him is another view. And God is way past the sun. He's beyond this universe and all the creation that we could even begin to understand. He's in the third heaven, and he's above the sun and beyond the sun. So we can see that he's looking from a very humanistic point of view, just with that term, under the sun. So now his thinking isn't something like the Proverbs, wow, I want to write that down, I want to live by that. Now it's, hold it, this guy's mind has just dropped down, still has wisdom, but he sees life from man's point of view underneath the sun. What profit has a man from all of his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes. But the earth abides forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Life's just one big drag, sounds like. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear ever filled with hearing. Always wants to see more, always wants to hear more. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new. Okay, there's your second time. Under the sun. Could you say that with me? Under the sun. You got it. Okay. So how many times have you circled it?
Twice.
See, I even got the two fingers up. I'm a good professor. Is there anything of which it may be said? Is there anything? See, this is new. It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of the former things, nor will there be any remembrance of the things that are to come by those who will come after. So he's got two thoughts generating here. And It's interesting to take a note that the word Jehovah or Yahweh is the personal name of God to the Jew. And when they speak of Jehovah or Yahweh, they're speaking from their heart in a personal relationship. The word for God, Elohim, which you find in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth, that is not the personal name of God. That's the God of all creation, and it's the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's the personal concept of God when you use Jehovah or Yahweh. And this man, for some reason, uses Elohim instead of Jehovah or Yahweh. So as he's writing, just the difference of name for God shows you that he's backslidden and his relationship isn't strong with the Lord. So he's talked twice already about life under the sun from a humanistic point of view. So we also realize in these quick verses we just read, he's searching for the meaning of life. Now, I'm sure you've all done that. Some of you may be doing it. I really sought for the meaning of the life as I grew older. I really, honestly, when I found the Lord, I had spent about 3 nonstop years or a little bit longer searching for the Lord. I searched God through so many avenues and venues, and this is what he's doing, trying to find out what life means. I wanted to know, what is it all about? It has to be more than what I was experiencing, that was for sure. So he puts man on the level of the animal plane, and you will see that animals go to the earth and man's spirit goes to heaven. And when he equates us with animals, that there's no difference between us, it shows you that he's pretty far gone from God. And he's forgotten the great God of his father David and the one that has lifted him up. And he puts man on the level as the animal plane. And the animal possesses a consciousness and a body, but you have the opportunity to have not only your soul, your consciousness and a body, but a born-again spirit that you can live forever. So we're not on the animal plane. And the animal plane is living to satisfy his body needs. And this is what we see in the opening 2 chapters, is Solomon is trying to satisfy his body needs as if this is going to bring him great pleasure. And when he started out, he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The word vanity literally translates that which vanishes. So think of the things in your life which you went after and they're just gone. They're not here. It's just vanity. Maybe your vain ego pride made you chase after it. But the things that we lust after and that we waste our money on is vanity. That's why Jesus said, when Peter said to him, but Lord, we've left our own houses and our wives and our families to come follow you. And Jesus said, in this world, you'll get paid back 100 times, but in the world to come, eternal life. So the world, in a very powerful way in the last 2 weeks, has found out that many people went chasing after that which vanishes away. I talked to somebody yesterday who had a friend that just lost $5 million in their investments just in the last 2 weeks. $5 million gone. And their heart was a little bit down, to say the least. But I hope that you're all wise enough to realize this world is actually melting down in front of your eyes if you're looking closely. That God is just showing us the other kingdom. It's just right at hand. So vanity means that which vanishes. And the denial of the spirit, just like this philosophy that Solomon's taken off on the body and the consciousness is what I'm going to live for, the denial of the spirit is the flaw of all of our educational system. You can't have anything about the spirit in the classroom. You can't have it in the textbooks. So it's that denial of the spiritual side of things that just is missing so much in this world that is just calling out every day for a one world currency and a one world government. And it may come sooner than we think, of course. We have no idea. So we have to trust the Lord because he said he is the way, the truth, and the life. So in verse 3, what profit has a man from all of his labor? Well, we just saw, this generation right now just saw that a person could work their whole life and all of a sudden everything they worked for could disappear. So Solomon is looking from the negative side. We are told that to the Jewish side of things that started the Ecclesiastes scholarly works says that Solomon was kicked off the throne, actually. And when he started worshiping idols and brought idolatry back into the country, they said, you're out of here. When he married those 700 wives and or concubines and 300 wives, that was wrong. And then he started doing his big works projects, and he'd have all these people that would work for him by the tens of thousands, and he actually took 33,000 Jewish people that he brought into like a works program against their will. He drafted them in that they would help build what he wanted to build. And so there is this historical point of view that Solomon lost his throne, and there is one word here that they really point at that says this is the word. He's off his throne. Not only his rocker, but he's off his throne. And the people just said, we're not putting up with this anymore, and you have gone a different way than your father. We're through with you. And now he's down speaking to us, walking the streets like normal people. So, verse 4, one generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. Now just think right now. One generation has gone before you, your parents and your grandparents, it's gone. There's a generation that's with us. We're all here right now. There's younger and there's older. And then there's us. And then there'll be one after us when we drop dead, he's saying. And when that's gone, who cares? Nobody's going to remember you. Nobody's going to really care about you. That's why people have their names on libraries and they put in 10 or 15, 20, 50 million into a university to have a building or gymnasium named after them. They want to live on. Everybody would like to live on, but he's just saying, why do we work so hard? Why aren't we realizing this? We're going to die like everybody before us and everybody after us. And it's just vanity. Life is just so empty. So I would say where he's missing it here is knowing that I have responsibility for my parents and my grandparents of at least any modicum of door they open for me as a human being, though I fairly pretty much raised myself as a teenager from there on. But what about those that are with me right now? Should I be selfish and just like him, heap everything unto myself? Or should I expend myself physically and mentally and spiritually to serve people? And if anything were to live on, it wouldn't be me or my memory. It'd be the eternal word of God that would live on. So then I have this third dimension that he says it's all just so futile, that I should be thinking about the future people in San Diego. And I think that all of us have this opportunity by the Lord that our lives should never be wasted. And Solomon has forgotten what it's like to serve people and to love them. So I would say our lives, we should be lived in respect to those that came before us. And we should be challenging those who are with us. Our lives should always be a challenge. And with purpose to make it easier for the ones that are coming after us and for the kids that can't speak out for what's being taught in their schools, well, we do something about it. Now here's a guy that's got some time on his hand. He's thought this through. Look at verse 5. The sun also rises and the sun goes down. And then it hastens to its place where it arose. Now, we know that the sun isn't like a cartoon that pops up, hello, good morning, kids, and then it ducks down at night and then runs off to someplace in space. But you get the picture. He realized there was a cycle to this thing. There's an orbit. Something's going on here. Sun shows up. The sun disappears. We don't see it, but it's where it started out earlier in the day. So there's a rhythm to this. Then he says, verse 6, the wind goes toward the south and then turns around and goes towards the north. It whirls about continually, and the wind returns again according to his circuits. All right, so now he's sitting there, and he's got balloons, he's got a wet finger, he's got whatever feathers flying in the air on a string, he's flying kites, and he sees that the wind does certain things. He's got a lot of time on his hands. He's figuring this stuff out. I don't know if you've ever sat down and thought out the sun and thought out wind, but this guy has. And his mind is a very unique mind. Then he thought about this, and this takes some thinking. Just think about it. All the rivers run into the sea, okay? Yet the sea is not full, okay? Unto the place from whence the rivers come, there they return again. Huh. So the Mississippi gets filled up from rain and goes down about and jumps into the, okay, and then that goes over here, and then the rain and the evaporation, it all starts. And he began to get this universal picture of the universe, of a circuit, and then the globe, and then the wind and the water. And he had time to think these things through and say, there's a pattern here, it's developing, so whatever has been created, I'm just part of it, I'm not it, and it's not revolving around me. So he's learning something new here. So this is all going on, and you and I are set in the midst of this, and this has been designed for you and me, but since there's a devil, he's taken it away, and now this is a struggle for you and me. So he sat back and he said, okay, the wind, whew, oh, I got that one. Okay, the sun, the stars, okay, I got that one. Think about this, the rivers. Yeah, I never thought about that before. And he sits there and thinks about it. So he says there's rhyme and there's a cycle and there's rhythm to the world we live in. And, Elton John sang about the circle of life in Simba or something, whatever the Disney cartoon was. And that whole theme of that movie was Hinduism. The big circle of life is always Hinduism. And that's just Hinduism. The song itself was, the whole thing about the little lion and everybody going back. And this, he's losing it here. He's losing the edge of being one of God's boys and saying, my dad created this, and I don't need to have all the answers. But if I have the brains to sit and think about the wind and the rain and the sea, that's great. You showed it to me, God, because now I can do some things to help the next generation. So he's down in this mystical fog here, and he's thinking like an Eastern religious leader. This isn't vanity. This is actually reality. The rivers do flow to the oceans, and then they end up coming right back to where they started. For some reason, God has this air conditioning unit of 76% of the planet being covered with water, and about the same percentage is what the human has got. You and the earth have a lot in common. And as the earth loses and you lose water, you start to dehydrate, you shrink, you bend over and you become an old lady or an old man. And the water's going out of you. And he's being told something, but he isn't picking up the picture of the spiritual meaning to it. So to him, he says, this is vanity of vanity. And the reason it would be vanity is because he only has a human mind and he can only take even the greatest wisdom of a man's mind so far. And he doesn't have the other side of where God is. And that's why it's reality. This is reality. The sun is out there and it stays where it is. And we orbit around it. And our moon orbits around us. And there is tidal effect. And yes, there is moisture and evaporation. And there is H2O. And all of this is going on. The birds lay eggs every spring. And the old ones die and the young ones live. And that's just life. That's reality. That's not some... wow, let me just sit there for a while and figure it out. And it's not. So don't get sidetracked with little things that make you think, well, I'm really deep because I can't figure it out. And no, you can figure it out. You just leave it to the Lord. Now, in verse 8, he brings in these new thoughts. All things are full of labor. Well, a woman delivering a baby would be full of labor. But if you stopped and pick that apart, would all things be full of labor? Well, see, you could raise a question and then you could debate it. So then this isn't really God's wisdom. This is his interpretation from being fallen from the Lord. That which is done will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. That which has been is what we will be. Well, now, that sounds a little goofy, but I think there's a double-edged sword here. I think, number one, he's getting into a time warp, or he just fell into a black hole, and he's seeing time stop, and he's got some truth here. If you study Einstein's theory, which you know I've studied every day for years, if you studied any of these things, or even read the little cliff notes of it so you could act like you knew what you're talking about, you'd say, okay, eternity and time travel, you would end up being with yourself at the speed of light. So what he's saying is kind of interesting. The things which have been will be. So he's saying if you're eternal, you're watching this parade go along and it's going to end up being the future for your grandkids, or you're where it already started.
You've been listening to a study by Mike McIntosh from the book of Ecclesiastes. Be sure to join us on Chapter and Verse next time when we'll listen to Mike present part 2 of this teaching.
If you'd like to review any or all the teachings from this series by Mike that we presented on CNV, you can find a complete listing of this series through the Book of Ecclesiastes on the web in the sermon area under the teaching link at mikemackintosh.com. As we close our broadcast for today, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that Chapter and Verse only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So we do appreciate you praying for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, please write to us at Chapter and Verse. Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at mikemackintosh.com. Be sure to join us again tomorrow as we continue in the Book of Ecclesiastes with Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.